Why do you drive?
No, no, because you are driving because I always have to drive. And so this is my chance to ride along. This is Phil Ferrand, and it is episode 104, 2 years. Da, 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 da. Okay, now you can start the car.
Okay.
Yes, and then we get our seatbelt on. We got a little ritual.
So were we recording the whole time there?
Well, a little bit. We jumped in. So I have the delightful pleasure today of actually having my daughter drive me home, and the inimitable and impeccable and wonderful Miss Clara is in the car with us, and she often likes to have conversations as well, so we might be joined. This is going to be kind of a special edition because we are driving home and then we are driving back. So it's going to be like 10 minutes and then we're going to have a little break and then we'll do part B. Anyway, so I sent my daughter Elizabeth, whom you will hear me refer to as Lizzie probably at some point here. I sent my daughter Lizzie article that I had read by Jennifer Moses in the Wall Street Journal called Why Do We Let Them Dress Like That? And it's all about teenage girls and how they dress. And this lady was, I thought, you know, had some interesting... That's right, that was Clara. So I thought had some interesting points, and she made some points that were then responded to by other people in the marketplace, some sneeringly and some with some thought and discussion. And so we're actually just going to chat today, and I thought this would be a good topic because my daughter has a unique perspective that I don't have since she's a woman. So so first of all, the author was expressing some great concern over the fact that a lot of girls seem to be dressing very sensuously. She actually did a video interview along with this article, and in there, she was dismayed about the fact that she could look in catalogs and they would say, oh, this is flirty and this is sexy and these are for tweens.
I didn't actually watch the little video clip.
You know, she was disconcerted about that, and she was also kind of playing with this whole idea of why do we let our daughters grow up like this and dress like this, and in a larger sense, why do we allow our daughters to be primarily focused on this is the main component of my life?
And defined by?
I am defined by how I look. And I was trying to remember back, when you were growing up, did you feel like you were defined by how you look?
Well, I've been thinking about that. Yeah. And actually, you know, obviously, I think all teenage girls, certainly in the culture that we live in, even if parents are careful about, because that's the other thing I was thinking about. You wonder, well, why are moms letting their teens dress like this? Well, because they're letting their teens also be exposed to this in TV and movies and songs. And, you know, so if you're going to let them be exposed to all those things, you're going to have a hard time drawing the line at, but you can't dress that way.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely, it's, invades every aspect. But I was thinking about that, and certainly I had struggles over how I looked, and not just to how I looked, but how other people perceived me. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking back, and while those things, I struggled with those things, I feel like, and maybe if I was back in the moment, it would be different, but I feel like looking back on it, that those were kind of on the periphery, because I feel like at the center of it, I kind of always define myself by more by my intelligence and my my ability to excel at things that those were the core and the center of my life, as far as I prided myself on being involved in certain clubs and being at the top of the stack in those clubs as far as my abilities, and that when people heard my name, they thought, oh yeah, she's the smart one.
She's
so I think I was a lot more there than
But I think some of that is the crux of the issue. First of all, I don't know if you remember the little saying, no use advertising what's not for sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of our little saying around the house. You know, whenever something would be a little too provocative or, there's no use advertising what's not for sale. But I think also what's really important is that you feel like you are valued for things
besides
that.
Right.
You know, besides how you look and how attractive you can be. And I think that valuation has to come directly from parents. If your whole focus...
Because if parents don't give you anything, if they're absent...
Right.
Then that will be filled by whatever you see. I mean, the other thing that's interesting that I've been thinking about and been wondering about, because obviously I would like to be able to have these same results in Clara, was that I never was one. I remember Mom mentioning that she would sneak out and she would when she was at school she'd put makeup on and I distinctly remember, I think at the beginning of middle school, that I had asked if I could get some makeup to wear middle school.
Right.
And Mom had said no. And that, in my mind, it was closed and done.
Right.
She
right.
went then on to buy me a few little things and then wrap them up and gave them to me as kind of like a, because I think maybe she knew where she had come from. And so that she would rather me not be sneaking around.
Right.
And, but I don't know. I don't ever remember hiding a shirt in my bag and then taking it and changing when I got somewhere. And I know that happens. I know people do that. But I, in my mind, if it was no, it was no, and that was that.
And I think part of that is, again, comes back to raising, and part of that comes back to relationship.
Yeah.
I think if there's a gap in a child's life, or if that child is looking at one or more of her parents and saying that behavior that they're exhibiting is not very successful and they really don't have any part in my life and there's this disconnection, then they're going to turn to whatever they can find to fill that up and to make them feel loved and make them feel safe and to make them feel special. And that, it all kind of... We all deal with these two basic gender-specific deceptions that the flesh is always going to do in our lives. For men, is that women exist to be tools, and for women is that the only way I'll be safe and secure in life is if I can find myself a man. So I have to do everything I can to attract him, and since men like it when you wear high heels and short skirts, then obviously that's what I'm going to do. I got really tickled several months ago because I was in Ruby Tuesdays and I got into conversation with the hostess there, and there happened to be a lady who was walking out of Ruby Tuesdays and she was wearing like these 4-inch spikes, with jeans and stuff, kind of waddling her way out. And I just looked at them and I just smiled and I looked back to her and I said, I said, spike heels amuse me. I said, I don't understand. I said, I understand why women wear them, but I said, from just a practical standpoint. And we got into a discussion, and this young lady in Ruby Tuesdays was absolutely adamant about the fact that she just wore them because she liked how they looked. They made her feel more powerful, and that she was no less stable in heels than she was in tennis shoes. And I absolutely could not convince her otherwise. I mean, there was...
Well, it's so... I mean, high heels specifically, it's so pervasive. There's such a culture of, we love our high heels.
Right. And the only thing really being
just frankly, from a woman's perspective...
Right.
There is something about being in a pair of heels, but I think it's the something is that that people are looking at you. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
That you're more attractive, and that you have the capability of catching someone's eye if you're in heels.
Right.
The question is, why do heels catch men's eyes? And from a guy's perspective, yes, it lifts the calf. Yes, it changes the position of the hips. Yes, yes, all those things. But really, from a guy's perspective, it just means that they're hobbled and you can catch them easier. I mean, really, if you get right down to it.
Certainly, every time we're watching a movie where a woman engages in a chase sequence, the first thing we yell at the screen is
take off the heels! And I was actually, what movie was I watching the other day?
She actually took them off.
She actually did.
Yeah, I can't remember what movie it was either.
First thing, she ripped off the heels and started running. And I was thinking, wow, but now you're in your bare feet. But, you know. Anyways, one of the interesting things that this lady did say in her little video thing about why she feels like mothers let their teenage daughters do this is because she felt like she was given no guidance from her mother. She was really painting it in a generational perspective. And I'm not really sure she has a point, but it was an interesting observation that she felt like in her day and age, her parents did not talk about sex. They didn't talk about boys. You know, it was just good girls don't do that. That's all there was to it.
Right.
And so, and then she hit the free love 60s and went through all just anybody, everybody does it with anybody and all that kind of stuff. And so in the process of that, then she didn't feel like she had any real training on how to talk to her daughter about it. And
didn't
so
she now, say something to the effect of also is that who am I to tell my daughter she can't if I...
Right, if I was out doing all that stuff. So anyways, we have made it back to my house. We have a ritual we need to perform. We need Grammy to come out and see Clara. And then after Grammy comes out and see Claire, we will be back for part B. Back in a few. Okay, so we are back. Grammy has had her visit. And this is part B. And actually, I'm going to look and make sure this is actually recording because we were on pause for long enough. Yes, it is. Sorry for the weird placement and the scraping. Okay, anyways. So we are driving back to Lizzie's house now. Yes. No one can say this isn't affected, but here it is.
You know, when you've been doing it for 2 years, you can write whatever rules you want to write.
Right, well, this is kind of special. I actually just, you know, did the one video one, but haven't ever done anything like that before. So what was interesting this week, I knew I was kind of ramping up for this, so I was talking to a buddy about it, and he said one thing about this idea of little girls wanting to dress up, because I think in a lot of things in our lives, there are those things that are extremely natural, they are extremely normal, and there is a wide variety of reactions that we're innately going to have simply because of our genetic makeup and our surroundings and all that kind of stuff. And one thing he was saying was that he really felt like some of it was just dependent on the child, because he has two daughters, one's younger, one's older, and the older one is like in full princess mode right now. I mean, she, everything wants to be a princess. And, you know, I don't know that there's anything necessarily wrong with that. And I think there is an innate, an innate desire to play dress up and costuming and that kind of stuff. One of the things that's, as a complete sidebar, that's interesting is, I don't know if you, have you heard of the website Born This Way? Okay. This is a website that, I don't know if it was, came out of Lady Gaga's song Born This Way or if it was around before that, but it's a website that got started by this guy who is gay. And he found a picture of himself as like a 5-year-old boy or a 4-year-old boy or something. And he had his little plaid pants on and his little shirt. And he was standing there and striking a pose. And he was saying, see, I was just born this way. And so then people go back and they find their childhood pictures and they post them. And the underlying tone is, well, see, this is just who I am. There's nothing I can do about it.
Children can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, so obviously this is my true thing. But what's interesting about that to me is that we have in this country equated things that don't necessarily have to be equated. Because we're in this stereotypical mode of, well, the guy is the defender and the inseminator and the protector, and the woman is the protected and the one who is inseminated. You know, we've got these two separate roles. Therefore, if you've got a guy who likes colors, you know, who likes to dress spiffily, who likes to take more time with his appearance and stuff, then people immediately start telling him, oh, well, you must be gay, because you're trying to attract attention, and that's the role of a woman. And I think that's hogwash. I mean, I think that people have a wide spectrum of things that they like to do with their lives, and frankly, I don't necessarily have any problem at all. You know, if a little five-year-old kid wants to wear his plaid pants and stuff and strike a pose, well, fine. I mean, we have a good friend that when he was growing up, he absolutely wanted to wear his big sister's slip. So, remember?
I vaguely, like, I remember that part of it, but I don't remember who it is.
Okay, yeah. And so, he was just a little boy, and so he'd just run around all day in his sister's slip. And his mom, she didn't think, he just said, oh, he likes it, okay, fine, you know. But he is a big strapping young man now, and even if he wasn't a big strapping young man, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's gay. It just means he likes soft fabrics. But sometimes I think people get shoved into a cascading series of decisions simply because they have a little bit of a propensity for one thing or another. And my concern with all of this is that it is true that there are going to be some gals that are, they like dressing up, they like playing, they like all that stuff. And that's just fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So long as there is some balance to it so that, you know, it's not the whole sum total of your life.
Well, and it's, I think that the princess doesn't become the perpetual damsel in distress. I
mean, right, that's exactly the point.
You don't
exactly
want the little girl to just think that because she's a princess then everyone's going to do everything for her and that she's never going to accomplish anything on her own.
Right.
That's the problem.
That is the problem. And there was a really interesting article that I had read about the perception, it wasn't the perception, but the research that was done on boys and girls in, I think it was high school, and the way they approached problems. And it was really fascinating because what they were purporting was that when boys would face a problem, they would have this inherent understanding that I need to buckle down, I need to learn this stuff, and I need to push through and accomplish it. And girls, the idea in a lot of the girls was, well, if this was something I was good at, it should just come to me easy. And it again gets back to that stereotypical difference of, I have to go out there and achieve for myself, or everything just comes to me. And I think, yeah, it would be great if we just sat around in life and everything would just come to us, but that's not the way it works. And looking back on your childhood, I mean, I remember that we had some pretty fierce discussions about practicing the pianos and practicing cello and all those things, but there were a lot of things that you really tied into, and you know, you worked hard on and you got them done. And honestly, I would like to think that a lot of that comes back to, first of all, having a good relationship with parents, being connected to your parents, having them value you for things other than just how you look. Remember a couple of years ago, there was a story on the news about there were certain ethnic families where they would have parties where they would dress up all the 8 and 9 year old girls in all their little short skirts with full makeups and stuff, and then they would have them dance around. And that was how everybody would clap and think it was really great that they had taken these little girls and, I mean, dressed them in heavy makeup and all these little short skirts. You're just looking at that going, what?
Yeah.
It's like Little Miss Sunshine. Did you ever see
it? I have not seen
it. Okay, well, I only watched a little bit of it and I shut it off because I kind of could see where it was going.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, the big climax of Little...
She does a big hoochie dance, right?
She does a hoochie dance, yes. And everybody thinks this is so funny. And I just don't think I would have found that amusing at all.
Yeah.
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 So...
I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about before as far as what you allow your kids to be exposed to as well. I mean, it's so interesting now because, like, we've been going through some stuff just to see what we want to keep and what we got to get rid of because, of course, we need more space for baby stuff and toys and space that we were using for other things before. And so one of the things we did was to go through our movie collection, and there are a bunch of romantic comedies that I just thought were the best stuff when I was a teenager, and then looking at them now, even though they're cute and funny, I don't know that I want Clara to be exposed to that stuff as much as I am able, because all of those things, it's all about how he makes me feel and how I feel bad without him and how I feel so wonderful with him. And you know, I do hope for her that she finds someone that she loves and that loves her and that she has a fulfilling, committed relationship, but I don't want her to grow up thinking that is the sum total.
Right, that my life doesn't start until I'm connected with somebody else.
Right.
That I have to have that. And honestly, I think you and Alan are already on a great path with Clara. I think as long as you maintain a wonderful relationship with her, all of this can be navigated. One of the things that the author of the Wall Street Journal article said as she was talking about our society was she was saying that we have to recognize that this stuff, I wrote down some of this stuff because I was taking notes. She said that we have to be aware that we are living in a pornographic culture, that it's everywhere, that it's a cheap, debased culture. And she said, you know, if you want to watch your junky show, okay, but you need to understand that that junky show is just fantasy and you need to explain that to your children now. Better yet, just don't watch it.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it will come down to relationship. I think it will come down to what you value as parents and what you value in Clara as parents. And Clara may turn out to be a girly girl that just loves all that girly girl stuff. And if she does, that's fine too.
Right.
As long as she doesn't consider the girly girl stuff to exist for the sole purpose of finding someone that will then give her life meaning.
Right.
You know, if the girly girl stuff is just part of her existence, you know, that's fine. Unfortunately, it does get misinterpreted by others as well. And, you know, I think one of the cool things is that you were able to go to high school and that when people considered you, even though you are not unattractive, that when people considered you, they considered you because you were the smart one.
Right.
And that's why you ran as the brain. So
unsuccessfully, indeed, we did.
Lizzie ran for school office, and she had been asked at the last moment to run for school office, and so she ran for school office, and we needed to come up with a campaign just really hurriedly, so we talked about it. And so the campaign we came up with is, you be Pinky, I'll be Brains. And it was cute.
Because student body vice president is one step away from taking over the world.
That's it. That's it. It was cute. We had fun. So anyways, that is the 200th episode. Thank you so much to my lovely daughter, Elizabeth. Woo!
You're welcome.
For joining me and for the lovely Clara, who may be going to sleep.
Maybe. Although hopefully not, because it's almost bedtime.
So. Oh, that's true. She's so only got 50 minutes.
She sometimes goes to bed a little early, too. So we'll see. Hopefully she's still awake. We can play for a few minutes and then we'll go right to bed.
Right to bed. And so until next time, when it will just be me, this is Phil Farron, and I haven't made it home yet, but I'm going to be home in just a little bit. Have a great day.